Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile, and they've got something that baseball fans are going to want to hear about. Right now, T-Mobile is giving customers a free MLB TV subscription. That means you can watch tons of games live or on demand in HD. Get all the baseball you can handle and access to America's largest and fastest 5G network with T-Mobile. Visit T-Mobile.com/MLB to score your free MLB TV by April 5th. Qualifying customers can access the T-Mobile Tuesdays app to sign up for MLB TV. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Awarded fastest 5G by Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, January 2021. Details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Untitled Cleveland Baseball Prospect Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Matt Schlichting. I'm joined by Brian Heminger. Brian, what are we going to call this thing?
We've got a few options. There's, you know, with the Indians not being called the Indians anymore, and Let's Go Tribe rebranding to around the corner, or covering the corner, we've got a couple things because, you know, we were Indians on deck, but there's all kinds of different things we could do. There's around the corner. There's, you know, you had an interesting suggestion, the Cats to Clips, which would be from the lowest of single A full season to triple A, you know, Hillcats to the Clippers. And I guess we could also be open to suggestion for any listeners if they want to submit anything. I'd be happy to hear that as well, because, you know, we want something catchy. So if you like either of those two, you know, let us know. If you have a better option or idea, we would be happy to hear it.
And if I recall, Indians on Deck was actually originally a fan suggestion
too. Yes, it was and I really liked that one. So, our fans can be pretty creative out there.
A very exciting time, not only for us, but for every baseball fan, because as we are recording, opening day is tomorrow. Tomorrow, 162 scheduled baseball games for the first time in 2 years. However, unfortunately, minor league baseball will not be starting as usually scheduled.
Yeah, that does upset me a little bit because I love my minor league baseball season. I love doing my minor league updates. I haven't got to do them in over a year now. You know, we just got to wait about a month and then they'll get started. I wish they hadn't been so rash on pushing it back a month, because I think they could have started a little earlier now with the vaccine rollout, but that's okay. You know, we live with it. They'll have their little taxi squad for a month and then they'll get rolling. So we'll see what happens, but at least MLB baseball is here and we're going to get all of our games.
I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity to go bake in the sun and get a ludicrous sunburn and be really happy about it, because I saw a 9-inning blowout or something and had a Coke and kept score. It's going to be wonderful.
Oh yeah, I am going to be getting home immediately from the office tomorrow, and I am just going to be glued to my television.
MLB Network coverage starts at 9 a.m., baby.
Okay, I might not be able to get out at 9 a.m., but as soon as I can get out, I will be there.
I think you're coming down with a terrible cold. So who will we be watching tomorrow from the prospect angle on the Cleveland Indians opening day 26-man roster, Brian?
Well, they did already, I believe, announce the lineup for tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I think the biggest surprise, prospect-wise, you know, Andrés Giménez is going to be the starting shortstop, which is exciting. But prospect-wise, it's first base Yu Chang.
Major League first baseman Yu Chang? I thought Bowers won the job?
Well, Bowers won the job, but he's a lefty. They're facing, Matthew Boyd. He can be a pretty tough left-handed pitcher. So they said that this was something that could happen, even if, you know, Bobby Bradley had been given the starting job as a lefty. They want to give Yu Chang some reps, and he's earned it. He had a pretty good spring. I think he was one of the team leaders, if not the team leader, in home runs during spring training. So, and he made the team outright as one of the utility players alongside Ahmad Rosario. So let's see what he can do. You're not going to see Rosario at first base. So, you know, this at least gives us another option.
Yeah, I'm not mad. He definitely deserves to be in the lineup. I'm just confused. I know it's a lefty-lefty thing, but, like, I didn't hear I didn't hear anything about the possibility of Yu Chang playing first. Not seriously. This sounds like some weird OOTP stuff I do when I'm like 20 games below 500.
Well, I think we saw that they were open to moving some of our utility infielders that can play multiple positions to first base, because we saw it with Owen Miller playing first base. We saw it with there was somebody else that played first base. I can't think of off the top of my head, but they had multiple people that were like right-handed hitters playing first base that don't normally play first base. So
yeah, I was thinking that was going to be for like late inning switches, though. I didn't know this is going to be an April 1st revelation. And maybe he's going to, I don't know. I'm withholding all judgment. I'm going to let this season come to me for once, I think, instead of having expectations. I say that now. Talk to me in 3 weeks. But
and I think the other thing that was interesting is starting center fielder Jordan Luplow.
Oh, God. I know he's a good fielder. I just, like I said, I'm just confused.
They view Josh Naylor as the starting right fielder that can play pretty much every day against lefties or righties, because he doesn't have pretty good splits against both. Same with Eddie Rosario. You know, they're both, Rosario and Naylor are both lefties or left-handed hitters, but they can hit both sides, or both lefties and righties. So, you know, it seems like those guys are going to be playing, you know, as long as they're healthy every day. So center field is going to be a bit of a mishmash of Jordan Luplow, Ben Gamel, and Amon Rosario at the moment.
They're really, really testing my platoon portmanteau names. Like Landon Geierhall, I think, is always going to be the supreme, but I'm going to have to sit with this one. I've never had three guys platooning before.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And, you know, Rosario also has the super utility of, you know, every infield position except first, so second.
Oh, I think they'll just throw him at first if they feel like it now.
Maybe. They have a lot of roster flexibility at the moment, so we'll see what they can do with it. I'd say the other player I'm excited about is, he's not going to play on opening day, but Logan Allen. You know, he absolutely earned that job in the rotation. He was the best pitcher on the team throughout the spring.
Yeah.
I think his ERA was less than one. And he had like a ridiculous like 20-3 strikeout to walk ratio. And walks had been a little bit of an issue in the past with him. Not a big one, but at least enough that it was a slight concern. So, I mean, he just has done everything right. If there was any player that earned it with their play in the spring, it was Logan Allen.
Agreed. And it's not as if the Indians haven't had guys like, I mean, Bowers and Clevinger. I don't think you would say they had trouble with walks, because they were certainly effective without it, without being effectively wild. So I think they've got experience shepherding that kind of pitcher to their particular promised land.
And people forget how young Logan Allen is. I know he's been on the team now for like 2 years about. And he's finally making it, but he's only like 2 or 3 months older than Tristan McKenzie. You know, he was a high school arm that, you know, paid his dues in the minors, and he's only, you know, he's not even 24 years old yet. I'm really excited to see what he can do. This is crazy, by the way. If I don't know if you've had a chance to like look at the age of all of our pitchers, the oldest pitcher in the starting rotation, Zach Plesac, 26 and 3 months.
They just keep developing these young pitchers out of seemingly nowhere. And I am trying to find Logan Allen's last start. And here it is. 5 innings, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts. I was listening to this one and he just was destroying guys.
I can't wait to see him. With the work that he put in the offseason, I think he came in, he lost like 30, 35 pounds or so. I read that he basically bought in to the Indians pitching like factory, like all the analytics, like everything. Like he went to like their pitching gurus and stuff and just put in all the work, and it's paid off. I mean, it's been sensational. I mean, we've heard about all, like, you know, Aaron Civale did a lot of work in the off season on like his arm angle and like redefining everything to just to make him more deceptive. You know, that's what makes our pitching special, is the work we can put in in the offseason. You can just revolutionize things. And Logan Allen was a top 100 prospect in all of baseball. People forget that. You know, he kind of fell off because he had a little bit of a struggle there in 2019. And then, you know, 2020, he didn't even get to really do much with the Indians. It seems like he's ready to go. And he's still really young, and this guy could be around a while if you know, he comes out and performs like the way I think he could.
I'm wondering if he's not going to shoot up the rotation a little bit this
season. I mean, at this point, I would have him at number four. I mean, I think Bieber, Plesac, and Savali, clear cut 1, 2, 3. But, you know, after that, you know, Tristan McKenzie, yeah, he was good in a relatively small sample size last year. But he's had his ups and downs in the spring. So, you know, at this point, I have him at the five. Like, personally, I have Logan Allen as my number four starter.
Any other fun, exciting players on the opening day roster prospect-wise? Or maybe some surprises of people that we thought we would see but weren't included?
I wouldn't say surprise, but Trevor Steven is the first Rule 5 player that the Indians have kept in years. I mean, maybe decades. So I'm excited to see what he can do. He's not going to get the most high leverage situations. He has a really good two-pitch mix, a great fastball, a great breaking ball, and he throws 98 miles an hour. So he's just another weapon out of the bullpen, and I think he's going to stick. I mean, he was one of the better bullpen performers during the springs. I mean, he clearly earned that opportunity. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I know he's not a prospect, but, and I have been, you know, a big Brian Shaw hater in the past, but he's earned it. He came in, he's throwing what, 96, 97 miles an hour and, three pitch mix and blowing people away. I don't know what happened in the off season. What crazy, you know, mixture of stem cells he had injected into his arms or whatever the heck it was, but he actually seems like he's going to be a, you know, somebody that we're going to be seeing a lot this season. And I'm actually not terrified of it, at least based on his performance in the spring. So I know he's not a prospect. That is interesting to me. And in terms of maybe anything I'm disappointed by, you know, I know Oliver Perez has been around a while and he's been dependable, but I would have loved to see Kyle Nelson get that spot in our bullpen. He was tremendous in the spring, and Perez, I just don't see him getting outs the same that he used to. I mean, he's almost 40 now. There was a time, you know, when we had like Scott Atchison and he just basically got converted from bullpen to bullpen coach. Maybe that should have been something that they should have thought about. But I guess they're going to give Perez a shot. If he can't hack it, then call up Kyle Nelson. But I think Kyle Nelson earned it in the spring.
I do too. I wonder, I mean, on one hand, service time, blah. I know he's a reliever, but there's trade value involved in service time too. So I'm wondering if, based on the fact that they knew they were going to keep him, they're just sort of banking on Perez being effective enough that maybe they can get something for him when Nelson's ready, mysteriously, after working on his defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as a service time thing. It's more that, you know, Nelson had options and Perez didn't. So
yeah, but Perez is 39, 40.
Yep, 39, almost 40. So, and I guess he is one of the guys, Tito's guys, that's, and he's been dependable in the past, but.
I want to commission a big oil painting of Tito's guys. And it's just like Oliver Perez. Who did you always play cribbage with?
It was Shaw.
Shaw and Napoli. Yeah. Just the guys all playing cribbage, naturally. Eating bubblegum and chew and popsicles.
I would be remiss to not mention that, you know, Adam Pletko did get traded to the Orioles, I believe, for cash considerations. So that was one of the ways that they were able to open up a roster spot on the 40-man to keep Shaw and Perez on the roster because, you know, they had to make some room. The 40-man roster was full at the time. So And I think they moved Cam Hill to the 60-day DL as well.
What's going to happen to some of the young guys like Mercado, Zimmer, Bradley, Ital? What's the limbo they're going to be stuck in now? Because they can't go to Columbus because the season doesn't start until May.
Well, I'm assuming that at least one, if not two, is going to be on that kind of emergency five-man squad that they can take with them on the road. And then in the meantime, they'll be, you know, doing their thing in Columbus. I think they have a taxi squad set up. They announced, I've been seeing that some players getting reporting over there. So that's probably where they're just going to be getting reps, staying fresh and making themselves ready if needed. So whether it's an injury or a positive COVID test or whatever, they will, I guess be at beck and call. And I mean, we're going to find out how this center field experiment is going to work, because we really don't have anybody that traditionally plays center field capable of playing center field right now. I mean, our outfield might be the worst defensive outfield in baseball.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah, because Daniel Johnson, Bradley Zimmer, and Oscar Mercado are, I would say, three of the better defensive outfielders that we have. And they're all in Columbus. They're all going to be getting reps on the outfield. I'm interested to see what they're going to do in Columbus, even, because they're going to have those three. Nolan Jones is going to be trying to get reps in the outfield. You'll still have guys like Connor Maribel that is not going to be playing in AA. I mean, he's already a good AAA player. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but it's a very crowded situation. By keeping some of these veterans, they are creating some serious clutter at the AAA level right now. So we'll see how it plays out. It's a long season, but that's where we are right now. The only other prospect that I really haven't talked about is Emmanuel Clase. Threw 102 miles an hour the other day. I am so pumped to see what he can do this year.
I think that reports of Karen Shack locking down the closer role have been grossly exaggerated.
I'm fine with Karen Shack being the closer, but I'm just excited that, you know, Clase is going to be getting some late inning leverage, high leverage situations consistently. How hard do you think his slider is?
Isn't it like 94?
94 miles an hour. That's Shane Bieber's fastball.
Guys who throw off speed pitches in the 90s just piss me off.
I saw something ridiculous. It was like somebody posted that there were three pitches in the entire 2020 season that were over 102 miles an hour where a batter swung and missed. And that happened the entire 2020 season. And Clase did it twice in one inning.
Okay.
In his last appearance. So just to say, I'm feeling a little bit better about that trade because basically we got him for one inning of Corey Kluber.
Well, when you put it that way, you can't really complain anymore. So I think that wraps up our opening day roster considerations here on the Untitled Cleveland Baseball Franchise Prospect Podcast. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and answer some listener questions. So we'll be back after this. Do you have too many middle infield prospects on your baseball team? Need to move around some talent to other positions, but don't know how? Hi, my name's Smithsonian Xavier, and I'm with the Prospect Discombobulator. I need a guest from the audience to come up and show how this thing works. Do I have any takers?
Oh, me.
Oh, hey, look, it's Brian Heminger. Brian, here. Take this.
All right, what am I supposed to do with it?
Just point it at any prospect.
All right.
Who are you pointing it at?
Gabriel Arias.
Fire! Pew! Oh, look. Gabriel Arias is now 6'10" and throws 105 miles an hour, left-handed. Great. Do one more.
Owen Miller.
Fire!
Pew!
Oh, Owen Miller's a dog now.
Oh!
He's a very cute Labrador, though. Maybe we should take this back to testing. Anyway, I'm Smithsonian Xavier with the Prospect Discombobulator. We'll see you next time! And we're back on the Untitled Cleveland Baseball Franchise Prospect Podcast. Brian, do you want to go ahead and open us up with the first listener question?
Yeah, we've got some good ones here, so appreciate them rolling in here on a short notice. But Tangible Uno, at Tangible Uno asks, what individual in the organization that still has their rookie status will accumulate the most WAR in a Cleveland uniform during the 2020s?
I feel like it's Tristan McKenzie, because he is still technically a rookie, and I feel like he's going to pitch really well this season. So I don't know of anyone else that still has the rookie eligibility who I feel confident could put up like 2 to 3 wins.
Well, so, the thing is, it says during the 2020s, so we've got a full decade.
Oh, I can't read. God damn it. I spend all this time parsing the question and I forget the last during the 2020s.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hide for the rest of this question.
All right, we'll redo it. So I've asked you the question, and then you'll get your chance.
I blew it live. We're just going to push through this. Okay. I still say Tristan McKenzie. Dang it.
That's still a valid answer, because he gets a head start, you know, most likely being in the rotation to start 2021. So if he sticks it out through his whole rookie contract, that's, you know, 5-6 more years of WAR accumulation in a Cleveland uniform.
Now, if
so
I could,
that is not a bad guess.
If I could pick anyone, George Valera is my answer, but
that was my pick.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. And I am going to go Valera. I mean, where's the biggest need right now? The outfield. It seems like Mercado and Zimmer are just those 4A. They're just not quite getting over the hump. Same with Daniel Johnson. I like all three of them, but in terms of stud prospect status, you know, when George Valera, I think he could be ready as soon as next year. And once he gets in there, he is not letting go. We have basically center field open moving forward, and we've got left field open moving forward, because I think Rosario is only on a 1-year deal. I think as soon as he steps in there, whether it's at center or left, he is staying. And he's going to be there a long time. I think he's somebody they could potentially build around. Still, he's only had a small sample size, but this guy, I think, is legit. So that's my winner. But, I mean, there are so many. You can do Tyler Freeman. You can do you know, Daniel Espino. I mean, there are so many stud prospects in that Cleveland system. So I don't think there's really a bad answer. But, in terms of position players, I just feel like position players can accumulate more WAR anyway. So I'm going to go with Mr. Valera.
Our next question comes from Richard K. Bach, who asks, do lefty minor leaguers work on bunting against the big shift?
I have absolutely no idea.
I would hope that they do.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing I love more than seeing four guys all on the right side of the infield and then somebody dropping down a bunt and getting a double.
Yeah,
like that is my favorite thing in the world.
Yes. I think the bunt double is better than a triple.
So I would hope, because I mean, you have to do something. I mean, I know that they're doing like they're testing some rules and stuff to like ban shifts in the minors this year. I know, but
positions are a lie.
If that does not come into play, then you need to have another option, a weapon against the shift. And if that is, you know, getting really good at bunting to basically get a free hit every time they shift on you, then I think you should take it. So having the option of being able to do that is, I think, extremely important. So I would absolutely be working on it. But again, you know, would you rather have a single or, you know, jack one 50 feet over the right field wall?
I like dingers.
Yeah, I like dingers too.
What's our next question?
Okay. At Winston Taylor asks, with the surplus of high contact, high athleticism, middle infield prospects in the organization, is there going to be a point where the team starts to trade away from the position of strength to address other needs on the roster or organization in general?
Well, I know there's some startup companies working on answers to this question, though results are not promising all the time so far. It it seems like they have to, because as these guys start to come up, there's a huge 40-man roster crunch coming up. We can't keep all these guys.
This upcoming 40 Rule 5 draft is going to be extremely important, because there's about 12 guys that they can't afford to let go in the Rule 5. I mean, we just lost two. They weren't like our top prospects, but Kai Tom made the Oakland A's a good team for their outfield, and Luis Oviedo made the Pirates as well. So I'm hoping that we aren't in that same situation this upcoming November when they have to make some tough decisions. So I think that's partially why they have some veterans on some 1-year deals, that they can free up those roster spots. So we'll see what they do. But I think that there's going to be a lot of young talent added to that 40-man roster. And they're absolutely going to have to make some trades. I mean, even with them moving around middle infielders to other positions, you still have too many good middle infielders. Because right now it looks like Andrés Giménez has the shortstop job locked down. If he performs well, and I think he absolutely can, then that's one spot already taken up. And then you've got Jose Ramirez locked in for another 2 years, almost certainly. I mean, it is a super discount, even with the team options. So basically, you've got the rest of the infield prospects fighting for second base and utility. So you're going to have to trade some away. And I think that they're going to make some smart choices. They'll trade away some really good prospects that are going to help some other teams, but hopefully we get something really good back, whether it be some more really good young prospects or a good solid veteran that is going to help us win. So it depends where we are as well in terms of contending. Like, if we're actually in it for the division, then they'll trade for veteran assistance right now. If we're not, then they could trade some of those roster crunch people for some flyers on some people that are going to be a little bit further away, just to free up some space.
The other option too is that the Indians decide to revolutionize the game with the anti-shift, in which you have pitcher, catcher, first base, and then six shortstops, but they're all at shortstop.
That would be interesting. You'd have to be even more than Bieber-esque in terms of your control to force the opposing hitters to hit it to the shortstop. But
I would just want to see the what was the game? I can't believe I can't remember this game. You throw the football up in the air and just shout out a number, like from 100 to 1,000, and whoever gets to 1,000 first wins. Is this a game that only existed in my neighborhood?
I've never played that, so okay. I don't know.
I just am imagining the rush of shortstops after a ground ball being like this ridiculous stampede, like that old playground game. So our next question comes from TrickyDick_6, and he asks basically the same thing. I'm sorry, Tricky Dick. You just got cut from the podcast. Damn, son.
Well, it is a slightly different, but basically the same thing. Yeah. Just what do we do with the shortstops? So we can recombobulate them. We can trade them. We're not going to cut them. We have to turn them into something, some other value. So whether it be convert them to outfielders, convert them to second base, utility, first base, even as we're seeing with the Yu Chang playing first. So there are a lot of possibilities, but at some point you're going to have to make some tough decisions.
We also have another question from AIREAZZY. So they ask, is Daniel Johnson ever going to get out of purgatory? And like we've said with the roster crunch, I guess maybe he's going to end up getting Kai Tom'd. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want DJ to spin, and it's never going to happen.
He's going to have to outplay Bradley Zimmer and Oscar Mercado in the taxi squad. Yeah. I mean, Zimmer wasn't that bad in the spring, but I mean, he just had options, so they sent him down and kept the veterans. Next year we'll have left field open, so that is going to be a possibility as well. or they might move Naylor to left, and then Johnson could play right. And then the only other options are hope that the center field experiment is a disaster and they need to call somebody up, and he could be an option. But it'll boil down to, you know, right now we've already got, you know, left-handed hitting Eddie Rosario, left-handed hitting Josh Naylor, and left-handed hitting Ben Gamel in the outfield. So he's going to have to step in for one of them. It either is going to be performance-based with Gamel or injury-based with Naylor or Rosario, which I hope we don't have happen, but that is his path to playing time right now.
And I guess I'm not being quite fair to Zimmer and Mercado, because I guess Mercado, you can say, had more of a fair shot than Zimmer did, since Zimmer's rookie year, he slid into first and separated his shoulder, and I don't really know that we've seen him again.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same. Like, he came back with like a reworked swing last year. He didn't do very well. He was okay this spring. I mean, he really was. He hit pretty well and got on base at a decent clip. So, you know, I actually would have been okay with him making the roster in the spring. I thought he was going to when they announced that Mercado wasn't.
Right.
But they went with Gamel instead. So we'll see how that plays. But if the defense is a disaster, then I think that they might have to call him up. We'll see what happens. But again, going to be some tough decisions coming up.
What is our final question for this edition of the podcast, Brian?
I think it might be the most important one.
I'm shocked that someone dared to ask this in a public forum, because this cuts right to the heart of so many of our societal issues right now. I'm not even comfortable reading it, Brian. Can you take it for me?
Yeah. At Lavrasik asks, who do you main in Smash Bros? In all capitals.
I have a confession to make. I have not consistently played Super Smash Bros. Since the original. So my main is legitimately still just Mario, and I dodge like a madman in the original. It was actually kind of fun. My sisters and I, and my brother-in-law were going to C2E2. We went 3 or 4 years in a row, I think. And they always had this big section where they just had a bunch of old CRT monitors hooked up with all the old gaming systems. And this was pre-COVID time, so you could just drop by, pick up a controller, and start playing against each other. And they had a few with Super Smash Brothers, the original, set up. And there were some guys sitting there playing, and they were pretty good. And I was just like, you know what? It's been years. Let's see if I can still hang. And, like, I lost, but the guy shook my hand and was like, not bad. Hey. I don't know if that was anybody, but he looked like he plays a lot of Super Smash Brothers. So,
and for me, I first started playing when confession time. My parents did not allow me to play video games growing up, so it actually had some serious negative consequences on me when I finally did get to play video games.
Oh no!
But I finally got an N64 when I was in high school. So that was kind of when I started. And so my first exposure to Super Smash Brothers was the Super Smash Brothers for N64. And I loved it. I have not had any other like Nintendo systems like the Switch or any of that stuff since, other than like a DS. I mean, I played like Pokemon on Game Boy and stuff, but I was all about, and I hope this doesn't, you know, piss people off, but I liked my Kirby, man.
He's fun.
Yep. I love how he eats people and then steals their abilities, and it's just hilarious. So I'm all about Kirby. I love the little way he floats around, and you kick him off, and he just keeps hopping back. I mean, it's hilarious. So, I mean, I'm not an expert or anything, but I would cheese with Kirby like crazy.
Full disclosure, I also look like I play a lot of Super Smash Brothers, so I'm not throwing any shade there, I don't think. I don't know. No offense to anyone who enjoys Super Smash Brothers, obviously. We loved this question. And I just bought a Switch, so maybe I'll get back into it. I don't know.
I think the other player I would use pretty consistently was Captain Falcon. I just remember this because I would always be like, Captain Punch! Falcon Punch!
Falcon
constantly.
Punch! So who on the Indians roster today do you think would be the best character in Super Smash Brothers?
In terms of like if you could play as them or if they were playing.
Like there's literally like they get zoomed into the video game and now all of a sudden an Indians baseball player is fighting Star Fox.
Karinchak, I mean, not even close. I think he'd be a complete psycho. Like he would just murder people. So it would be Karinchak. In terms of playing, I'd probably go McKenzie. I've heard some legends that he is quite the talented Call of Duty player. So
feel like I want to take Roberto Perez, and I don't know why. I just think that he'd be like Metal Mario out there. He'd take all this damage, and he doesn't really hit hard. And then all of a sudden you get too close and he unleashes a smash attack and you're just gone.
You know what? I'm going to switch it. Franmil.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that dude is I'm not joking. I saw him in person at TribeFest 2019, and Bobby Bradley was standing next to him, and he looked like a toddler.
Yeah,
and Bobby Bradley is huge.
The Royals broadcast was talking about this the other day. He's standing on first next to
Osborne. Franmil Reyes is a man mountain.
Look tiny.
He is a mountain of man. So, yes, it has to be Franmil Reyes now that I think about it again.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. We'll end on that. Is envisioning Franmil Reyes hopping across the top of the Pokemon level buildings and just completely obliterating Pikachu.
I like it.
This brings us to our final moment of the Untitled Cleveland Baseball Franchise Prospect Podcast, in which we read a selection from Nobel laureate E.E. Gammings, who can be found on Twitter at E.E. Gammings, shockingly. At this time, poetry. Buck Farmer. So, Buck. And then he has, shall have, O'Houlihan. But I am Bubbles, but Trudge, until you are too listless.
Thanks to T-Mobile for sponsoring this episode and for connecting fans to Major League Baseball like no one else. Right now, T-Mobile customers can score a free subscription to MLB TV when they redeem by April 5th. Where else can you watch tons of games and get access to the largest, fastest 5G network in America? Only with T-Mobile. Start opening week off right. Visit T-Mobile.com/MLB to score your free MLB TV today. Qualifying customers can access the T-Mobile Tuesdays app to sign up for MLB TV. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Awarded fastest 5G by Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G Experience Report January 2021. Details at T-Mobile.com.